One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Turn with me, please, to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 27, the cross is still despised and hated, misunderstood. The cross craze, somebody said, is unnecessary. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I hope I'll have your best attention while I read the scripture, beginning at verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they'd bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I've sinned in that I've betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See out of that. He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it's the price of blood. They took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. When he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? He answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I've suffered many things this night in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, whether the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. They crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there. Set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe on him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elijah." Straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earth quake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciples. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I'll arise again.' Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He's risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. May we pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this great chapter. We thank thee that we believe it. We believe that even though religion was lined up solid against him and crucified him, that he arose again. We thank thee, our Father, that the tomb is not the end of the story. We thank you, Lord, for faith to believe there was an empty tomb on the third morning. But we do thank thee for the death of Jesus. Oh, how deep run the roots of sin, and yet how deep flows that fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Remind every soul in this building and out in Radio Land that there's none but what needs Christ, and there's none too far gone or too deep. If they can look with faith to the finished work of Christ on the cross, they can be redeemed and salvaged and saved and made happy and holy through the power of God. And bless this service. Give me liberty to preach now in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some strange things that happened. The first strange thing, and it seems out of way today, religion had lined up against him. Jesus had no friends among the religious people of his day. The world's biggest misfit was the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he was the loveliest man that ever lived. When they came to crucify him, the only charge actually they could have ever had and substantiated and proved was that he loved everybody and did good to the same. He went about doing good. Somebody wrote a little poem about Acts 10:32, when he said he went about doing good. Today he passes down the street, the poor and lonely souls to greet, to cheer the faint, to raise the dead, to lift a tired, drooping head, to cleanse a leper by the way and with a harlot stop to pray, go far out on a wayside hill and hungry souls and bodies filled. These words you hear, but falling on a deafened ear, too great the price, I hear you sigh, so Jesus Christ just passes on by. Jesus, the best man that ever lived, died the most shameful death. He died between two murderers and thieves and criminals. He was born in the manger in the arms of a peasant mother. He was laid away in a barred tomb. He barred a boat one time for a pulpit stand. He barred bread from a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed hungry. Jesus, the poorest man that ever lived. Why one day when a man said to him, I'll go with you, Jesus pointed to the old eagle, queen of the air, winging her way to a place in a rock, and said, you see that big eagle? And he said, yes. She'll have the place to make her nest. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You see that old fox climbing the mountainside? Tonight when the storm breaks, the wind blows, and the chill comes down, he'll be inside a hole. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. All of that for you and for me. Jesus, God's eternal darling, while people were eating, he was starving, hungry, fasting, had no lawyer. When he came to the courthouse, the final trial came, his life was at stake. The old judge said, who will represent this man? Not a soul. Closest he had to a lawyer was a Simon Peter who shook his head in the wrong direction and said, I never knew him. I'm talking about the cross. People wear the cross, but they're afraid to bear the cross. The cross is not to be worn, it's to be borne. And Jesus said, he that beareth not his cross. The cross is not a decoration for the top of a church or to hang around your neck or on your ankle for good luck. The cross is a place where people die. But I tell you something else. Just 3 days on the other side of Golgotha is a place where you really live. Most of us would love the resurrection, but we don't want the cross. We'd like to live, but we don't want to die. The man who lives in sin never lives because he's dead while he lives. The Bible said the man lives in pleasures, dead while he lives. Look around you. The jail's filled this morning. Juvenile shelter. Some of our girls are there today. You know why? They love sin. They've been on dope, and dope kills. It's of the devil. Always has been, always will be. There's nothing that'll satisfy in the world. You girls have been along the trail. The wages of sin is death. We've seen that sin. Read your newspaper. Every day it announces people dying because of their own sin. Sin never has paid except in tears and heartaches and broken hearts and destruction and misery. I rode by the side of a soldier boy on a plane, and he said, "I've just gotten out of the hospital. It's full. The boys, their legs are gone. Their limbs are gone. Their health's gone. Their body's been stacked full of shrapnel." And he said, "For what?" I mean, for what? Sin. "From whence come wars and fightings? Come they not from your own lusts?" Every war is a financial war. You know that. Every war is an exploitation to get some land that somebody not willing to trust God. Why would we fight over the earth when Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth"? I'm going to get the earth given to me. Why would I want to buy it? And yet Jesus, I want to show you what happened to him when he got crucified. While he was hanging on the cross, the sun looked down, that great big ball of fire, 93 million miles away from the earth, reached in its pocket and pulled out a black handkerchief and threw it over his face, made everything dark as pitch. As 3 hours, the sun said, "I'll never shine on the sun while he dies." The Son of God put out the sun of the heavens, and the sun said, "I'll give no light to let anybody see the Son of God." And so the sun refused to shine. That's not all that happened. Even that ought to have been enough to convince anybody. They stood in darkness. Those people, soldiers, and all of them stumbling in the dark because the sun had closed out its light. The earth beneath the cross, when that precious, sinless blood began to drop down, those old cross beams and hit the ground, began to jump up and down and shook the world. That ought to have been enough to convince people that something was going on wrong. The whole earth quaked. Great cracks, no doubt, came in the ground. But that didn't convince them. Something else happened. There was a veil back over there in the temple, about 4 inches thick, made out of rich badger hides and skins, and it was a very sacred place. Nobody went behind that veil except the priest, and he once a year, but not before he'd cleansed himself. Once a year. Why, listen, if I'd have walked up there and pulled that curtain and walked back in, I'd have been killed just like that. I wouldn't be allowed. If the priest had gone in there without the proper cleansing, he'd have never lived. And yet, when the high priest of the ages hung on that old cross on that eventful day, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom and exposed the Holy of Holies. You know what that says to me? It means that I have access to Christ and to salvation. I don't have to go through the priest or the Virgin Mary or the Baptist Church or the Church of Christ. I don't have to go through people. I go straight to Jesus with my sins. That old veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom and saying to sinners, "Come for yourself now." The ceremonial law had been fulfilled and Jesus had become God's eternal Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, no wonder people sing "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Now then, Jesus said, in his word, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. That means there's absolutely no way to get your sins remitted apart from Christ and the cross. Even though it's despised, we sang the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. It doesn't have much attraction for the average person. Most people have ignored the cross. We've got a bloodless religion, and therefore it's a dead religion. My Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for the soul, for it's the blood that makes the atonement for the soul. There are doctors in the service, and if I were to ask them in their operations and in their practice, where does the life come from? They'll say, from the blood. The blood. Where's the hospital without a blood bank? Oh, listen. Out at the naval base, in the great hospitals, on the battlefields, one of the essential things is a blood bank. Those soldiers come in with their blood running out of their bodies. The doctor says a blood transfusion. Give them some blood. Oh, give them some blood. We're living in a time when we run short of blood. We got an anemic church membership, an anemic pulpit today. Pale-faced, if you please. Why? No blood. No blood. Ah, Jesus said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And he said, I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. There'll be no cleansing. There'll be no purifying. There'll be no difference. We'd keep you here 50 years, and you'd be a rotten, stinking sinner when you left, unless you gave your heart to Jesus and came under the blood. Only that which is under the blood is protected. The world can say what it will, but they have no answer. Have you ever noticed that modernists never have a home for alcoholics? They never have a home for dope addicts. You ever notice that? You never find one of these little Casper Milk Toast preachers going down to the jail to preach. He doesn't have an answer for that. He has no message for the criminal. Why? Because he's a little pink tea preacher, and he doesn't have any power to get a man redeemed from sin. Why? The Bible said, wherefore he's able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We have an uttermost Savior. That's reading me to believe. People ask me all the time, Brother Lord, which you'd rather work with, a dope addict or an alcoholic? It doesn't make a difference. They're all alike. All of them need Jesus, every one of them. I've never known of a man got saved and full of Jesus that ever took another shot of dope or even smoked another cigarette. You have neither. Brother, when sin is rebuked and forgiven and we're cleansed, then God gives us the victory. I was thinking when the precious girl was singing, her testimony seemed a little blunt. I thought, that's the woman at the well singing. That's right. Oh, listen, that's why I don't mean to be ugly, and you know I'm easy to get along with, but the thing about it, what can the state do for people that are in sin? They've taken over all the sinners now. They've got the institution at Fort Worth and Lexington, Kentucky, and they've got the prisons, and they've got the jails, and the juvenile centers, and they've got the psycho wards, and they've got the insane institution. What can they do for a sinner without a Savior? There's no hope. There's no hope. We're going down a blind trail that leads to nowhere except to hell and destruction and defeat and despair. When I drove by that beautiful multi-million-dollar psychopathic home with those great spreading trees and grass lawns by the acres yonder in another city, the man sitting by my side said, you know who's there? And I said, no. He said, just teenagers. Just teenagers, that's all. I said, you don't mean it. He said, that thing's filled with teenagers. And all they're giving them is tranquilizers and dope pills, and they'll be captured the rest of their life. That's all of it. They'll never come out with a rational mind. They'll never have good sense again. Young people, aren't you glad that your mind's clear today, that your heart's pure? Jesus is your Savior. Isn't it wonderful to be living, ready for heaven, ready for the coming of our Savior? I'm glad I believe that. And you see, the thing about it, this works. What they got won't work. They leave them worse than they were before they came, unless they give them Jesus. And where's the institution that preaches Jesus? That's the reason we need homes. Boys and girls need homes where they'll have Christ and love and patience and discipline and teaching and the right kind of leadership. The blood has all the answers. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.